Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Business from the Bass Boat Podcast on the Serious Angler Network, brought to you by Rec Lending. And guys, today's show is an awesome one. This is one I've been thinking about for quite some time, and finally lined it up actually with a connection at the Boise Sportsman Show. So that was cool. I'm actually not normal studio here. We are at my parents' house in Colorado. I'm down here looking at some ranch real estate stuff, and in addition to that, visiting some friends and all of that. So we are actually got stuck in a snowstorm. For those of you out west and in the Colorado region, we got absolutely pounded. My parents had, 18 inches of snow, 15 inches of snow. So dad was recruiting me to grab the snow shovel because the snowblower broke. So anyways, there's worse places to be, certainly, but I wish I was below the border with these guys. Without further ado, let's bring in Mr. Michael Whitlow of Anglers Inn and talk a little bit of below the border bass fishing. What's going on?
Hey, Adam, Michael? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I can't complain too much. Minus the snow, but that's the only complaint I have anyway.
Well, that's why you need to come down to Mexico with me. A lot warmer down there, especially this time of year.
No joke, man. Well, dude, we met at the Boise International Sportsman's Expo. Saw your booth there. I've always seen Anglers Inn and the Billy Chapman and all this stuff around it, and have never lined up an interview talking about it. But it seems like there's so much going on. I've got a bunch of group of friends out of Denver that go down every year. You know, there's people from all over the world that head down to El Salto and all the different bodies of water your way. But how was the show for you? How was the Boise show in your eyes?
Oh, the show was great. We've been doing it for several years. You know, I came from the Northwest, and I know a lot of the bass fishing community up there. So I've been doing the shows for about 8 to 10 years. A lot of good customers in the area, and a lot of good friends, you know, and a lot of them that come down to fish with us. So it's good to see everybody, and also introduce bass fishing in Mexico or peacock bass and fishing in Brazil, you know. But it's good to introduce that to folks that see us online or see it on YouTube or on the fishing shows. And, you know, I'm the way to get you down there. So
there you go. There you go. Well, that's great. And I know that you guys offer a pretty array of different trips with different bodies of water. I guess I'm just curious about, I've done a little bit of peacock bass fishing. I believe I was in Panama is where I did some of that when I was younger. And it was an absolute blast. I mean, we're talking, I brought my bass fishing gear. We were down there visiting some friends actually that run the big maritime, or like the through the Panama Canal in itself, running barges through the Panama Canal. He's actually a ship, I guess, would it be pilot? I don't know what.
Yeah, he'd be a pilot there through Lake Gatun. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So he would literally, from the U.S., that's what he does full time. It's a sweet setup. But we went and visited them, and I'm like, well, looking on the map, and I'm like, well, I better bring some bass rods. So I got to experience some of that. But what's Brazil like with the peacock bass?
Well, you know, Lake Gatun, you catch a 5 to 7 pounder. That's a pretty good one.
Right.
We're outfitting way up in the Rio Negro and its tributaries up by Colombia.
Okay.
And that's where the giant big 3 bars come from. So we're talking the 20 to 25 pound plus fish.
Oh my gosh.
My biggest is 24. I've had several memorable trips hosting, you know, groups down there, and I'm pretty blessed that's part of my job. I get to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, 24 is my biggest. I've hooked fish that were bigger, stripped 100 yards of line off, straightened saltwater hooks, couldn't stop them.
Wow.
Got a 19 and an 18 on back-to-back cast on a Berkeley Chapo when we were testing it out for Berkeley here a few years ago.
No way.
You have no idea the topwater explosions when you're catching 10 to 25 pound fish. It's just amazing.
Oh man. I think the only thing that I can think of, I've been on like Lake Mojave or Lake Mead out in the desert and had some, you know, big stripers come up chasing topwaters. And it's just like a bowling ball goes off in the water. It's just like, holy cow, you know? So that is awesome.
We liken the topwater explosion next to the boat as somebody throwing a concrete block into the water next to you. I mean, they just unbelievable strikes, ferocious.
Oh man. And on the Chapo, that's been a staple in my bass fishing repertoire for sure. So that's cool. Yeah. That you got to do some testing on some freak fish down there.
Well, and you know, the one thing about the Amazon, you know, yeah, we're chasing the big 3-bar peacocks. We're chasing the spots or pacas, the butterflies, you know, there's quite a few different species that we'll catch, but
okay.
Any cast, freshwater barracuda, wolffish, dogfish, monkey fish. I'm talking everything strikes top water, jerk baits. You just piranha, black piranha, silver piranha. And you can't forget, you sometimes be thrown up in the trees and a big old caiman will grab that top water bait from you and then hang on, but he usually takes it from you.
Wow. Wow. That is an absolute adventure, man. That is so cool. So I want to get into what your role is, Michael, with Anglers Inn. You know, from what I can tell and what we talked, you're the Western rep, but you also do some guiding. You know, what is your position within the business?
So my story is 27 years ago, a buddy and I, we seen bass fishing in Mexico. We seen a picture of a flooded cemetery on El Salto in Bassmasters magazine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, years ago, I didn't make the money I used, you know, did as my career went on. So it took me a couple of years saving overtime. My buddy and I picked out Anglers Inn International, and online, we went down there. We caught a lot of good fish. We were ill prepared, you know, 10 and 12 pound test. Well, you need a little bit heavier for these big Mexican giant bass down there. So anyhow, long story short, I became a customer. I was a customer for 17 years. And then the last 10 of that 17, I was going twice a year, man. I was hooked. You know, I was bringing my buddies down there. And then Billy Chapman met me at the lodge one day and asked me if I'd like to be the rep for the Northwest United States, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, you know, that part of the country. And
wow.
You know, being living in the Northwest and being in the bass fishing community, you know, we all knew each other. I said, yeah, I'll do that. You know, I'm already bringing my buddies. And so I went to work for him. Very, very blessed. It's been 10 years this year. And I now have the whole Western United States is my territory. So I do a lot of the marketing, sales. And the biggest thing is I'm helping people fulfill their dreams, you know, their personal best. I'm going to help you get down to that lake. You know, one of the two, you got Lake El Salto where we catch the giants, and that's been famous for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. But that's basically my job, is helping get you down there and fulfill a bucket list or a trip of a lifetime, you know?
Wow. How cool is that? I mean, you're literally getting to take people not only like on a adventure, but like, mm-hmm. like you said, exactly. Like, I feel like this is one of those things that as hardcore bass anglers, it's like you hear about it always. You've always heard of the Mexico stuff, and then you finally kind of make it happen and you get to be the facilitator and all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And that's what I do. I have been the witness to so many PBs down there, and that's what the satisfaction is out of my job is seeing all the happy faces and all the big fish, and people get to experience what I've got to experience for 27 years now. And let me tell you, man, that lake is still throwing out some giants and lots of quality fish.
Wow. Wow. Now, do those bodies of water down there, are they the same kind of way as the West Texas stuff? Meaning that there's, you know, there's some fluctuations water level wise and that kind of a thing that kind of have a boom and bust cycles, or how does that, you know, what is it, desert? I mean, I've seen videos and pictures and stuff, but what would you compare it to in, I guess, the United States, if you can at all?
It's really hard to compare. You know, we're in the Sierra Madre Mountains. These are all irrigation reservoirs. You know, they're dammed up for irrigation only. There's no power plants in them. So the water can fluctuate sometimes 50, 60 feet a year. Mm-hmm. But Billy had the foreseeable thought to create a bass fishing industry on El Salto over 30 years ago and talked the government into stocking it with tilapia. Okay.
There you
stocking
go.
It with Florida strain largemouth. And of course there's shad in the river systems. Mm-hmm. So after they dam that up, you know, these bass, they gorge on these tilapia, and the tilapia are very nutrient rich, just like trout are in the California lakes.
Right.
You know, those trout have so much nutrients. They'll make those bass grow big and quick. Well, mm-hmm. the same as in Mexico. And so mm-hmm. they also had, he created a tilapia fishery. So we net the tilapia fishermen net them so many months a year, so many days a month.
Okay.
And we've created that equal balance to manage those lakes. So, you know, you'll see a few cycles, but it's consistent year in and year out with lots of fish, lots of quality fish. Every once in a while, 3 years ago, we had some big hurricanes, three big hurricanes. We had high water conditions. Well, the next year, the fishing was tougher. People still caught fish. Well, the next year, we had a biomass explosion. I'm talking schools and schools of two-inch tilapia. Mm. Well, the fish are so healthy now. I just got back from the lake. Okay. 4.5 days of fishing. My buddy and I averaged 70 to 80 fish a day with a 6.5 pound average. You're not going to find that anywhere else.
Oh my gosh. A 6.5 pound average. And this was El Salto or was it?
This was El Salto. So it's on its upswing. And like I said, just so healthy. And, you know, and every summer as that water goes down, In the late summer, late July, the rainy season starts. August and September were closed. Well, it will rain down there, and it goes from desert land, brown, and all of a sudden you'll have 6 inches to a foot of grass all over the lake floor out there, and then it floods. Well, those tilapia feed on it, the bass feed on the tilapia, and that cycle continues every year.
Wow, that is awesome. Yeah, that's, I mean, it sounds similar to me of kind of like, you know, your West Texas, your OHIVs, your Amistad, like all that kind of stuff. You just hear about the boom cycles, right? Like when that vegetation gets up, all the bait fish get up, largemouth come in. And it's great to hear that this tilapia, I didn't realize that was the forage. That makes a lot of sense to me. You always hear about how tilapia, I think I listened to a deal, and this is little bit, we've got an awesome show coming up, folks, with private waters fishing out of Texas, but they've talked with some of their biologists listening and same kind of deal. They said, all right, top forage bases. I saw some social post about it and it was like tilapia is number one. Like they're it just grows giants as far as Florida strain largemouth go. So they just absolutely are protein snacks and they get really big with them.
Yeah, and that's what we've witnessed for years down in Mexico on all the lakes, you know. If it weren't for the tilapia and the Florida strain largemouth, we wouldn't have those fisheries, you know.
Right. So I guess with Billy Chapman discovering this place 30-something years ago, El Salto in itself, did it already have largemouth at the time? Were they in there? And then, or did the fishery need to be developed at that time?
From what I understand, Billy actually developed that fishery. You know, there was no Florida strain largemouth in Mexico. And, you know, Billy's actually been voted in the Freshwater Fishermen's Hall of Fame and the Bass Fishermen's Hall of Fame, doing this.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of history behind that.
Wow. Wow. So it was a process to turn this place. I mean, he just somehow was around there, visited something and was like, hey, this could be something crazy special.
He had the vision to do it, you know, and just like him in the Amazon, you know, he was one of the pioneers in chasing peacocks in the Amazon. You know, he's been doing it a long time and he just had these visions and thankfully for all us bass fishermen, he went through with it. And you see what we get. You see all the videos, the reports and all the good bass fishing down there.
No doubt. Wow. And then how far is Picachos from El Salto?
So it's just a little over 2 hour drive. So, you know, when you come down, you can actually fish Picachos. It's about 45, 50 minutes out of Mazatlan. El Salto is about an hour and 20 minutes northeast up out of Mazatlan, up the coast into the mountains.
Okay.
And then about a 2 hour drive between. So you can come down and either fish El Salto, you can come down and fish Picachos, or you can do what we call a combo trip. You know, you can start at one lake. And what we recommend is being Picachos is new, lots of numbers in the lake, you know, but the fish are smaller, you know, a lot of fish in the 3 to 5 pound range where El Salto, there's a lot of fish in that 4 to 8 pound range, you know, and bigger, but you go to Picachos, you get your numbers, get your hook sets out of the way. And then we take you over to El Salto and you can concentrate on the grandes.
Wow. Wow. Love it. And do you guys keep track? I mean, I would assume you're keeping track of your fish, your double digit fish, those types of things. What is it taking? What are some of the biggest fish annually out of these bodies of water right now?
Well, El Salto, we have numerous double digits. I've had customers, one of my buddies from Seattle, 14.2. Same week, this was a few years ago, we had a 14.1 and a 14.2. A buddy of mine from Tri-Cities, Washington, first time down the river bass fishing, he was learning how to bass fish. I was teaching him how to use a bait caster and all. He goes down, catches a 10-7 and a 13-8 in the same week.
Oh my gosh. You're ruined. He's done. It's not going to happen again.
there's a lot of big fish in that lake. You know, the lake record's almost 19 pounds at El Salto.
Oh my gosh.
But people will hook these fish and they get down in them trees. Sometimes it's hard to get them giants out of them trees.
Oh, so yeah.
A lot of big fish broken off, you know, that people never see. My best day was about 6 years ago, a few years before, well, maybe eight before COVID. We got on a spinnerbait bite in February. I caught a 12-4, took a picture of it, weighed it, tossed it to the other side of the tree on a spinnerbait, caught a 12-2 on back to back cast.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
I had 2 over 11 that day and 3 over 10, and I don't know how many 7s, 8s, and 9s, but they were chewing on a white spinnerbait. It was just one of the best trips I've ever had. And I've never had a bad trip, but that one was memorable because of all the giants that we caught that week. But
that is insane.
You can go back to one of our YouTube videos. That's the when we caught the 14s, but I think we had like 89 fish over 10 pounds that week, like 100 plus between 9 and 10. But we actually did some videoing at the lodge and talking about it, and it was an amazing week. You just caught it just right, you know.
Wow. So what cycle are they in? I mean, in February then, you said, is when that happened. Is that like kind of still pre-spawn? Is that, I mean, I'd assume that's post-spawn. That's got to be right.
Actually, you know, December's all pre-spawn. January we have a spawn, and then the big ones used typically in February. You know, that can vary year to year. Like right now in March we are in post-spawn, you know, but the fish are already starting to feed back up and fatten back up. By the middle of April and then May, June, and July, these fish are fat and their metabolism's cranked and they are on the feed bag, chasing and chewing, you know, all reaction baits. But right now, post-spawn, but January, February, usually that's the spawn, you know, pre-spawn, spawn, and post-spawn. So you'll catch them in all three phases of those times of the year.
Sure, sure. And do you offer trips year-round, or what does the trip cycle look like?
So we're open. We open October 1st, and then we close about the end of July. When the rain starts down there, it rains a lot. So August and September is the rainy season. It's the only 2 months we're closed. My best months to fish that I personally like is May, June, and July.
Really?
July, I do a couple groups. The first 2 weeks of July, I host a couple groups. But the water's down 50 to 60 feet. The water's warm, the metabolism's cranked up, the shad on the top. And I'm telling you, it's not uncommon to have 100 to 150 fish days, you know, swim baits, or you pull up on a point on a crankbait, and there's times you and a buddy can catch 60 to 80 fish in a couple hours, after fish. And it's just, they're schooled up, they're cranked up, and that's all they do is eat. So.
Wow. Wow. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So what's the process look like? I mean, you kind of always hear of stories and safety issues with Mexico and these types of things. What's the process for somebody that's interested in booking a trip? Where are you flying into? Are you getting picked up by a shuttle? What does it look like for somebody?
Okay. So when you book with us, you know, you give me a call and I'll help facilitate all that. I think Adam can leave my information, you know, somewhere for you.
Yep, but we'll put it in the description.
You fly into Mazatlan, Mexico. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. We have customers from all over the world. But we will be there when you walk through customs with a sign that says Angler's Inn. We'll be holding it up. And a lot of times I'm there to greet you. But Mario, he's there every day to greet all the customers. He'll check you off the list. We'll put you on private vans. We take you to whichever lodge you're going. So safety-wise, there is no issue. You know, down in Mazatlan, there's about 30,000 American and Canadians live there year-round. So,
really?
Wow. You know, and I get this question all the time at sportsman shows, and is it safe? Yeah, it's safe. There's places in the United States that are more dangerous, you know.
Sure.
The biggest thing is staying away from the border. You know, that's where all the problems are. You know, and we're way down on the West Coast. And like I said, we've been there for over 30 years and we have not had any issues at all.
Got it. That's great to hear. Well, I mean, What, as far as your time frames that you recommend, it sounds like kind of that you like the summertime, which would be, I guess, super post spawn, right? I mean, you're talking, this is kind of the same way that you would maybe look at like a Southern Texas or a Florida fishery in the May, June, that time frame. Mm-hmm. What is your recommendation for folks of like, I'm trying to catch a PB, trying to catch a personal best? What is the time frame? And I'm maybe there's multiple, but if someone's like, hey, I'm coming down to try and break my personal best, what's the month?
Well, if their personal best is over 10, of course, December, January, February, and May.
Okay.
We catch a lot of double digits, you know, but we catch them all year round. Last July in the two groups that I had, we had 7 fish over 10 pounds that week, you know, including a couple over 11. You know, you're catching them in, you know, 25, 30 feet of water, you know,
right.
The tops of the treetops, but the guys that are willing to fish for them, they're there. They're there all year round. But, you know, and everybody knows a pre-spawn fish with full of eggs, that's at the biggest it's going to be for the year. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, last July when we were there, these fish are so full, they looked like they were fixing to spawn that month.
Wow. Wow.
So
that's what you kind of hear, though. It's interesting that you say that time frame of being, I mean, of course, you always hear pre-spawn, right around that spawn, that's just when those females are as big as they're going to be, right? And then you kind of have this second, you know, there's some of the Texas guys, right? Like you listen to like a Kurt Dove or a Matt Reed, they really like fishing those way south Texas lakes in August when it is brutal. I mean, brutally hot out. But for whatever reason, you know, that's when you go and get on a deep crank and bite and you can catch some good 10 pounders. And I think it's kind of what you're saying. Those fish have kind of refed up and they're kind of getting back to fully healthy weight wise.
Oh yeah. And they're healthy, you know, slow rolling spinner baits, you know, 3 1/4 and 1 ounce spinner baits in 20, 25 feet of water in the treetops or, a big swim bait. And when I say big, five inch, 6 inch is about as big as you want to go. We don't throw the giant
really
and all, you know, the water's stained. All these guys want to bring the big swim baits, but the 4.8 Kitech bait is probably one of the biggest producer, you know, the 5 inch Bass Tricks hollow body, you know, any of those, that's what they're keying on, you know, for the most part. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Equipment wise, what's the situation there? Are people bringing their own gear? Are you providing gear? What is that? Does that depend on who the person is and what they want to do?
Well, so I'll just go over a whole package with you. So perfect. Say a standard 4-night, 3.5-day package, and then you can add days onto it. Mm-hmm. We charge $22.45 a person. So what that includes is you got to pay your airfare to get to Mazatlan. Mm-hmm. We'll pick you up in private vans with beer, water, soda. We'll whisk you up to the lake. You'll have your lodging right on the lake at a beautiful lodge, whether it's El Salto or Picachos. Mm-hmm. And then all your meals, drinks, open bar. I mean, we even include the alcohol. So, you know, we'll take care of you on the Pacifico beers and the margaritas. And we actually greet you with a platter of margaritas when you roll up to the lodge.
Love it.
We do your laundry for you daily. So you really don't have to pack a whole lot of clothes. And said some good meals. We'll feed you ribeye steaks, Brazilian ribs and chicken, carne asada for lunch. I mean, you're not going to go hungry down there. And that's all included, you know.
Wow.
Now, as far as the tackle and stuff, you know, us bass guys, we all fish different. You know, we all want to try this. We all want to try that. So we teamed up with St. Croix Rods several years ago. So we supply rods for you at no charge at the lodge.
Wow.
Because, you know, rods are kind of hard to pack on airplanes anymore.
Sure. Sure.
But you need to bring your tackle and your reels and your line. And
okay. That makes sense.
On what season you're fishing, you know, I will send you a suggested tackle list that's pretty well dialed in after 27 years of fishing, you know, on stuff that you're going to catch fish on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But I always tell everybody, bring some other stuff and try it. You just never know. You may turn us on to something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, so yeah, it's all inclusive. You know, the only thing after you get there is gratuities for your guides and your wait staff. But mm-hmm. Man, once we pick you up to the airport, you're taken care of.
So. Wow. Wow. Well, I think that's a really good model. great to partner with a rod company like that. And then you're just bringing your reels, right? Like you're bringing, you know, you're putting your 20 pound on, your 25 pound on, your heavy stuff in some of those situations. And then you get the list of tackle. And like you said, that's exactly it. It's like, I'm thinking about all the different baits that I'd want to bring down and all that kind of a thing. And that's, we're just all gearheads, right? When it comes down to it, like, yeah, of course, bring this stuff. But I'm like, you know, I have always wanted to throw this big top water somewhere. This would maybe be a good place for it.
Absolutely. And I tell everybody, you know, bring what you want, but you need, at least need to bring, you know, the minimum suggested, because that's what you're going to catch the majority of your fish on. You know, after 30 years down here, our guides, you know, most of them have been with us for 15 to 30 years, fathers, sons, uncles, you know, cousins. These guys live on the water. I mean, they're on it day in, day out. They can tell you, how deep is it here? He'll be within 6 inches every time without having a depth finder. I mean, these guys know the lake. So, and they know what to use too, you know? So, and that's the other thing is, I forgot to mention, you know, 18 foot aluminum custom boats, you know, we actually widened them. They're very sturdy to fish out of for two guys, you know, plus your own guide, you know, for your trip. You know, and that's all part of the package, but it's, you know, Mexico's still a fairly economical price, you know, for what we give.
Right. I mean, I'm just thinking through of like, you know, I've been to Mexico sometimes on just all-inclusive resorts, right? Going to just a resort. And I'm like, I'd rather go bass fishing for $2,000 for a couple of days than I would spend, you know, that much at a resort for 4 days. So, cause you're all inclusive anyways, right? You're getting the benefits of the drinks and the food and all of that. So that's really economical, in my eyes of things. And that's just great. So these boats, I'd assume they have a trolling motor, on the front, and then is your guide running it? Are you able to run it? What does it look like there?
No, actually the trolling motor, they're hand controlled trolling motors in the back. So your guy, he drives the boat around.
Okay.
You know, he'll pull up on the points or pull up on the flats or up in the flooded trees, but he'll kind of tell you what it is. And he sits in the back and he keeps that boat controlled so that both of you have the best casting, you know, advantage.
I see.
So you ain't got to worry about controlling a boat. You just, you go down there and fish.
Yeah.
You
know? You've got your guide is quite literally, staying out of your way, but also able to be your spot lock, your, you know, your power poles, whatever it is.
Yeah. And like I said, these guys, I mean, they're amazing. You get hung up, they'll get you unhung. The one thing all of us guys, all us bass fishermen, you know, we want to get the old bass thumb, you know, the old thumb that's all tore up, you know, you got to ask your guide, say, no, here, let me take it off. Cause they want to take the fish off for you. I mean, you get a rat's nest, they want to help you.
Wow.
I mean, their customer service is just out of this world. And that's just the way we are. Service is our focus. And that's the way Billy trained them, you know, and that's the way he's brought the company up, is we want to be your fishing destination. And the guides are just amazing down there.
Wow. Wow. That's fantastic, man. Now, has anyone, I'm curious, this is a curious for El Salto or Picachos, has anyone messed with forward facing sonar to your knowledge on either of those bodies of water yet?
No, not to my knowledge yet.
Okay. So I'd be curious to see if that'll happen here. Now, is there,
I get asked that at the shows quite a bit now. Well, do you guys have forward facing sonar? And I says, yeah, all our guides are. They know that lake inside and out. They know if there's a tree over there in 30 foot of water or a rock pile. But we haven't gone to that type of technology. And I actually, my personal thoughts on it.
Yeah. What's your
take? That's going to take away from your adventure, you know.
Right.
Down there, any cast can be a double digit fish. I mean, any cast. And you just never know. You'll hook a 5 or 6 pounder, and you, especially your first time there, you're going to think it's a double digit fish until you get it up and like, well, he's not that big. These fish are strong, you know.
That is so.
Yeah. I, my personal thoughts on that, especially these kind of lakes, that takes away from the adventure.
Right. I can see that some, just being that it's like, it's that good of a body of water that you're like, at any point in time, a cast could just be a giant. You know, I mean, I've gotten to where I enjoy fishing with forward facing sonar, but I see too, when you go somewhere, you know, you're out of the country, this whole adventure, there's that mystique of like, hey, I don't know what's in front of me, you know? Yeah. So like, I see that side of things too, for sure.
Yeah.
Now on these bodies of water, So are they like a, you know, it's owned by an irrigation company. That makes sense. Super familiar with that with our Western lakes, right? Like a lot of these are set up the same way. Is it like a public body of water? Is it private? And then a couple of folks can guide on it. Is there like competition from local? What does that look like on El Salto or Picachos?
Well, we're so far out of Mazatlan, you know, you'll have a few people that they can come up and fish it, but you know, there's a couple other lodges on the lake.
Okay.
You know, that guide, then there's one that guides for a lot of the Mexican nationals. You know, I bet you we do 85-90% of the business on the lake.
Wow. Okay.
You know, we're that popular. And keep in mind, you know, 80-90% of our business is repeat clients.
Wow.
You know, and that says a lot right there. But yeah, you could come up and do it, but you have to have a fishing license. You know, they have the equivalent of our game warden. It's a conservation fisheries manager.
Okay.
You know, so we actually pay into the conservation district, you know, part of what customers pay us in the price, you know, goes to your fishing license and goes to the conservation, you know, and the tilapia fishery and all that. So that's part of all that management. But they're not allowed to come up and keep the bass. The locals are allowed, you know.
Sure.
But there's not a lot of pressure other than, you know, us lodges on the lake. You know?
Got it. That's great to hear. And you have, as far as rooms go, I think I've seen some stuff like they're just some of these little villas that basically that guys are staying in, or what does the lodging look like on both of these bodies of water?
So at Lake Picachos, we have 10 little casitas that hold
casitas. That's the term. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that hold, you know, two people, two beds,
yep.
You know, hot shower, air condition. And those are actually right on the lake.
Wow.
In October, when the water's full, you can actually fish off of our dining room because the water comes right up to it. Now, El Salto is a little bit different. We're set back from the lake a few hundred yards at full pool.
Okay.
But we've got several different areas. We've got the main lodge with the outdoor restaurant and dining area. We've got a pro shop. We've got, I think, 8 rooms upstairs and downstairs, 3 rooms. Then we've got the old Sierra Madre Lodge. It has 5 rooms off to the left of it. We've got a couple rooms next, you know, halfway in between, kind of like a big casita. And then down below, we've got some other rooms. So we've got them scattered all over. But you can go to our website, anglersin.com, and you can check out pictures of the lodge. But it's beautiful, you know. But a great place to stay.
No doubt. Now, what about if someone's maybe bringing somebody down that doesn't want to fish, or maybe it's a husband wife trip, but wife's not really into fishing. Maybe she'll come out on the boat a time or two, but that kind of a situation. What do you do in situations like that?
Well, we have, of course we have couples packages where if the wives want to fish or fish some of the sessions, and here's what happens. And I've witnessed this over and over the years. The guys bring their wives down there, you know, up in the Northwest, we go fishing and sometimes we don't catch a fish all day, or we're out in the windy and cold and catch a couple. Well, the ladies don't like that. So they come down there, they'll get out and start catching fish. So the next thing you know, the ladies are wanting to get out there every single day. So I've seen a lot of them get converted to like, hey, I'm going fishing with the hubby, you know?
Yeah.
And then of course we come in, we fish from daylight till 11, you know, come in for lunch and siesta.
Okay.
We'll back out about 2:30 or so and fish till dark. So, I mean, it's not hardcore like us guys like to do. So the ladies really, really like it. And then we do offer a non-fishing companion package. Now, we don't have a pool. You know, we've got some lounge chairs they can lay out in the sun. Our staff will attend to them. But we do have a full-time masseuse and a spa. So we pamper the ladies down there. They get unlimited massages if they want a pedicure or manicure. You know, but it's we have some of the ladies, they'll just bring a book and sit out in the sunshine and, you know, sip on margaritas throughout the day. And our staff takes care of them while the hubbies are out fishing. But usually the ladies get down and they get a taste of catching fish.
They're like, this is actually fun.
It's actually fun. And, you know, the next thing you know, they're wanting to get down there every day. And then they're wanting to come back. So the hubbies are like, yeah, I like that. You know, wife wants to come back. So I've got permission now.
Oh yeah. That's great. I like the thought process too. I mean, like you're going down here for a vacation as far as stuff goes. I like the idea. I mean, you think about it too, just us hardcore guys too. I mean, really your best windows, obviously your twilight, your morning, your evening. And then also there's kind of that, there's always a lull. I don't know any tournament I've ever fished in, every day on the water, there's that lull at 11 to 2. Like, it just gets tough. Like, yes, you can catch a big one, don't get me wrong, but there's those bite windows, and they're just more times than not, it's slower in the middle part of the day. Yeah. Go back to the lodge, have a couple margaritas, have lunch, get ready for the evening bite. I like it.
Well, you forget, you got to take a siesta. You know, it's really good to have a nice nap in the afternoon for about 30, 40 minutes and then get back out there.
I'd say
in my experience, a lot of times we have a lull between 10 and 11 every day. You know, that's when the sun's, it's pretty hot. You know, the mornings are almost always calm. Very seldom do we have, you know, wind in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And then every day around 11, 11:30, 12, we have a breeze pickup. Okay. I don't care what time of the year it is. And so right after lunch, sometimes it's some of the best fishing because that breeze is picked up and we're throwing windblown points with spinner baits or swim baits. But I like getting out there right after the morning's great. Yes. That right before, you know, the sun comes up, we catch a lot of big fish. I've caught a lot of big fish right after lunch too, you know, but that wind every day kind of keeps it cool on you, but man, it cranks them fish up.
That's so good, man. Oh, it's just so cool. It's just cool because, you know, you always, like you said, I've seen the videos, hear it from people, but from yourself and just hearing the whole process of it all is super unique to me. So do you guys get folks, I would assume, it sounds like there's a pretty heavy repeat customer base, but, you know, are there folks coming from Japan, from other countries in addition to the United States?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've had quite a few of the Japanese anglers come and fish with us, and from South Korea. Wow. I've guys have flown from Germany to come fish with me. We have a lot of Canadian customers too.
Wow.
You know, that come down, you know, but primarily, you know, most of our business is the bass guys in the United States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me being in the Northwest for 31 years, you know, I told you I recently moved to Texas. I'm a little
Closer
to get to Mexico and Brazil now.
Now you're real close. Yeah.
Being in the Northwest, you know, I got to introduce probably hundreds of my friends and buddies and their friends over the years, bringing them to Mexico. And then, you know, they want to bring their buddies. They tell them about their experience. And so we have a big customer base. And I'm proud to say a lot of those guys in the Northwest are my friends, you know, because I've known them for a long time. I fished against them in tournaments, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've got to introduce a lot of them to bass fishing in Mexico. And that's what I love to do. That's my passion, man. You know, catching giants in those Mexican lakes. And I love getting these guys down there.
That's so cool. And it's strictly Florida strain largemouth on both these bodies of water. Are there spotted bass or anything else? Okay. Yeah. It's just Florida strains. And when you're saying these trees, is it like cedar trees? Is it just giant? I mean, what kind of trees? Do you have any idea the cover from?
You know, I'm not sure of the trees, but there's a lot of them. If you'll look at some pictures of the Sierra Madre Mountains, mm-hmm. and basically all they did was they dammed it up. So all these trees, there's a lot of them 30 and 40 feet tall. There's some of the trees that are 6 and 8 feet in diameter around on some of the creek channels, the old river channels, you know, that in the fall, they're completely underwater. And then as the water comes down, you'll see all these forests opening up, all these treetops sticking up, you know, and it's some of it's deteriorated over the years. But there's so much of it underneath the water that when you're driving over it, like this time of the year, you're literally driving over forest, but everything you see on the hillsides, you just have to picture that's what's underneath the water and it's still there, you know?
So, wow.
A lot of places for these big fish to hide.
No doubt. I mean, just, I can only imagine some of the groups of fish that are in a tree, you know, I mean, now the forward facing sonar, you look and you're like, oh my gosh, there's some giants. And you just think about, on a body of water like that with 10s and 12s and 14s, like there's got to be some groups, you know what I mean? Of like four or five over 10 sitting in the same tree. And yeah, that's just so cool.
Well, you know, that's one thing I've experienced over the years is, you know, yes, any cast, you can catch a double digit fish, you know, or an eight mm-hmm. or a nine. But a lot mm-hmm. of times when these fish pull up on the points to feed, or you're pulling them out of treetops, you're right, they group in sizes. You know, you'll be catching eights and nines and tens, you know, out of one treetop or, you know, off of a point. But a lot of times there's a lot of big fish run together, and that's when you catch a bunch of giants in a row, you know.
Wow. Wow. So how many folks can you host at a time? If someone's coming with a big group, sounds like two anglers per boat. You know, what are some of the sizes of the groups that you guys can cater to?
Well, at El Salto, we can actually accommodate up to 34 anglers. So I've done that many times. I've hosted groups of 34. Next May, my May 1st to the 6th trip, unfortunately, I'm already sold out with a waiting list, but I'll be hosting 30 folks. And I've got a lot of couples on this trip, too, you know, a lot of repeats. Wow. And some of them are bringing some of their new friends that haven't been. But Picachos, we can hold 20 anglers. We have room, you know, 10 casitas, two to a boat, two to a room. And then El Salto, we can hold up to 34 anglers at a time.
Holy cow.
A lot of times it's not completely full with 34 because you got groups of six or eight or two or groups of 12
combined.
They'll be coming in, and then a day later they get filled back up. But there is some of the weeks that, you know, somebody like me or some others are hosting big groups at the whole lodge. And I've done that many, many times over the year. I've had the whole lodge, and it's all people that I know and people that have come down. I tell everybody, you may come as a stranger, but you leave as family and friends, because we just go down there and have a great time, catch a lot of big fish, and enjoy Mexico.
I can only imagine the stories that happen after, you know, around a fire or whatever else, just after dinner, just talking about everyone's day over a couple of cocktails. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. And that's part of the fun of it. You know, that's part of the attraction of coming down there, you know?
Right. Right. I mean, and just the talking with everyone that's kind of in the same headspace, you know, just loving chasing great big ones.
Yeah.
That's great, man. So, as far as 2024 goes and then into 2025, I mean, are folks still able to book right now? How early do you need to get in on this stuff? What does that stuff look like?
Well, some of the popular months, you know, of course, we talked about January and February, you know.
Yep.
A lot of that is people, it's cold at home and they want to go down south and go fishing. 2025, we're pretty well sold out at the lodges. But November, December, we still have room. Christmas time, if you want to show up the day after Christmas, you know, not a lot of people on the lake, and we've got a special on that, but you can come down and catch a lot of big fish. Willie Nelson and Kim Nelson that run Northwest Bass and on Nixon's Marine up in Tri-Cities, Washington,
yep,
they brought a group down last year, and they said they were averaging 80-plus fish a day. The topwater bite was great, but they cut so many five, six, sevens, bunch of eights and nines, you know, so I don't think there's ever a bad time to come fish, but I've got room this year in July 1st to the 6th, July 6th to the 11th. If you want to join me, I'd love to have you come down and, you know, I'll make it a trip of a lifetime for you, but just give me a call and we'll check availability. And like I said, we're already starting to book 2025. Some of the weeks are filling up, but there's still plenty of availability, but you don't want to put it off.
Sure. Sure. Well, now, will you have folks too that would just book a week, the same week every year? It's like, this is my week. I want to be here these days. And they kind of just run that continuous cycle yearly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have some of those, or, you know, like I said, I personally host a group in February, and it's a lot of, it's the same folks. Mm-hmm. I always have a waiting list if somebody can't make it or something, but it's kind of hard to get in some of these groups because all these people have been coming for so many years. And I've got some guys that they go down four or five times a year. They just love it.
Wow. They're just, it's their place.
But, you know, I try and get customers to think about, you know, branching out and trying a different time of the year. Mm-hmm. And I've actually got a lot of them to do that. Try that May or June or July. Try that November, December. And a lot of them have actually liked it. And they're actually starting to go other than January and February. And it's, you know, that's freeing it up for others, but they're actually finding out you catch a lot more fish, numbers go up, and you still catch a lot of the quality, you know, other times of the year.
Sure. Sure. That makes sense to me. Now, do you see any expansion from you guys? I mean, I've heard of Lake Bacarach. There's a couple of other lakes that are, I keep kind of hear surfacing in Mexico and these different things, or maybe there's a new irrigation place being built at somewhere. Do you see yourself expanding on additional lakes in the future, or are these two these are our home places? Obviously it was an expansion to move over to Picachos as well, but what's your take there?
Well, Billy would have to answer that question. You know, he's the boss, and he's always the visionary that sees the right place to go.
Sure.
Bacharach is a little too far north for us.
Okay.
And we just can't, we're worried about the safety.
Okay.
You know, issues Bacharach's being that far north, whereas where we're at, we have no issues. You know, Billy has, Lake Mateos years ago, you know, okay, when they dammed it up, he went there. I think Lake Wheaties, you know, he's tried some others, but then the fishing kind of, you know, dropped off. So we're no longer there, but El Salto's just been true and strong for so many years. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll be there for a long time. And then of course with Lake Picachos coming on, you know, he sees that as another Lake El Salto, and we're starting to see it. So that's wow, why he built the lodge there.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the biggest fish that you've seen come out of Picachos?
Well, we had two over 14 caught last month. I just seen the pictures.
Oh my gosh. So they're getting to the size of the El Salto.
I knew about it the day after, but I couldn't say anything until we released it on our website. But yeah, they just released our monthly fish report with I think it was 14-1 or 14-2. It was a big fish.
That is awesome. That is awesome, man. So it's right there coming up to the level of kind of what you're seeing with El Salto.
Oh yeah. Yep. And a lot more trees in the water too, because it's so new. You know, there's a lot of timber laying in there, just a lot of places for them fish to hide. So
yeah, that makes sense. Love it. Love it. Well, awesome. Well, Michael, how do folks, if they're interested, and I'll of course include links and whatnot in our show descriptions, but how do folks follow along with Anglers In? What's the best way to get a hold of yourself or someone to requesting more information on getting a trip put together?
Well, you can always contact me at 509-378-2814, and I'll mm-hmm. call you back and get you started on your trip of a lifetime. You can call our office, 1-800-GOTTAFISH. And you can ask for me, Mike Whitlow, and the office staff will get me in touch with you to help you, you know, plan for a trip. You can follow us at anglersin.com. You can follow my Facebook page, Michael Whitlow. Of course, you'll see me holding up a big old giant 11-pound bass on that one, so you know it's the right Michael Whitlow. But love it. And then you can follow, you know, Anglers In on Facebook, you know, and whatnot. But you know, check us out at anglersin.com on the website. It shows both of our destinations, shows our fishing in the Amazon and Brazil. And, you know, I know we didn't touch on that much, but that's something I do. We take groups, 16 on the yachts and pull the bass boats behind it. But I usually host one or two trips a year. It's either me or Billy Chapman Jr. You know, the boss will be hosting a trip, but you can join us on one of those. And that's an adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think I've seen those videos. They've kind of gone viral. I've had some people send them to me just of the bass boats in tow. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, in those tributaries and whatnot, just, I love it. I love it. Well, great, man. Well, man, we'll certainly have you back on again, and just to talk stuff over the years, but appreciate you coming on, talking about it. And man, need to get a group of buddies together and get on one of these trips, because it sure looks like a heck of a time.
Well, I'd love to have you down there, and I guarantee you, we'll exceed your expectations. You know, that's just part of our motto. And, it's for a bass guy. I'll just end it with this. It's Disneyland.
It's Disneyland. It's Taku's Disneyland, but it's not smallmouth Disneyland. It's largemouth Disneyland.
Exactly. So
love it. Love it. All
right,
man.
Thanks for having me on. It was good to talk to you, Adam.
Heck yeah, absolutely. And man, enjoy it all. If you get down there here here again soon, and can't wait to follow along with the Classic and everything else in the bass fishing world we got going on. It's an exciting couple of weeks here.
Yep, it is coming up, and then I'll be posting fish reports for pretty soon. I'll be down there the last of April, and they'll be catching a lot of big fish, so stay tuned.
Love it. All right, man. Thanks for coming on, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Adam.